Because the part of the Olam, this week's Tadra is one of the places where the Torah speaks about the Mon, so I would like to speak a little bit about one or two inyanim of the Mon, one aspect in particular, which in fact really is mentioned elsewhere in the Torah in Parashat Ekev, but as we know, the Torah sheds light on inyanim in different places at different times, and we have to be able to look broadly over the Torah to understand inyanim. So, I'm going to begin with something which Rabbi Aaron Kotler speaks about in the Sefer Mishnah Shel Aaron. I'm putting it slightly differently to the way he puts it as an introduction. We know from Chazal that the Mon was Kuloi Chesed. All the aspects of the Mon, the way it was sent, the taste, as we know, it tasted of whatever one wanted it to taste of. It came for the tzaddikim close to where they lived. There was no tircha involved in it. Many, many great chassadim were involved in the Mon. And yet, nevertheless, we find in Parashas Ekev, the Torah tells us about the process by which we received Mon. The prophet says there, Vayyamcha, Vayyaribecha, Vayyachilcha Tamon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you suffer, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael. He made you, he was ma'aneh you, was inui, Vayyaribecha, and he starved you, Vayyachilcha Tamon. And then he fed you the Mon. Which on the face of it seems to be at odds with the nature of the Mon, as it was, Kuloi Chesed. And then we had to suffer and to starve, and only then did we receive the Mon. So Rabbi Aaron Kotler speaks about this idea of Vayyamcha, Vayyaribecha, Vayyachilcha Tamon early on in Chelek Aleph of the Sefer Mishnah Shel Aaron. And he explains to us as follows. The prophet tells us, right there in Parashas Ekev, when the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu starved us and made us suffer before giving us the Mon, the prophet says, Lohidiyacha, Ki Loya Halechem Levada Yichye Ha'odam. This was to teach you that man doesn't live on bread alone. Ki al kol moitzafi Hashem yichya ha'olam. Man lives on the moitzafi Hashem, the expression, so to speak, of Hashem's mouth. And here, Rabbi Aaron explains as follows: when we eat food, what actually keeps us alive, what is made in our guf, what nourishes our body, is not the physical food itself. It's the tzivui Hashem. It's the moitzafi Hashem in the food. There is a chelik of tzivui Hashem in food, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands. And this was the emet that Maitza Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with all that grows in it and so on, there's a tzivui Hashem that food should nourish man. And if not for that tzivui Hashem, one could eat and eat and eat all day, and one would not be nourished, one's body would not grow, and would not develop, and would not function. And this is the Maitza Pi Hashem. So Rabbi Aaron Kotler says when a person eats food, he has to recognize, L'man Hoidiyacho, we have to recognize when we eat, that what nourishes us is the Moitzopi Hashem, it's the Tzibui Hashem, so to speak. We have to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the food that we eat. So when we sit down at the table to enjoy ourselves, to have pleasure from food, which we're allowed to do, we have to recognize at the same time the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and the Hashpoat Hashem which comes down through this food, and it's only the Chesed Hashem which nourishes us. So this is the limud that has to come from the food that we eat, and this is the limud which accompanied the Mon initially, the very first food which we ate, which was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mizmor before entering Eretz Yisrael. So the Aaron as follows: when we are expected to take a lesson to heart, there's a certain process which is required. He says we can look at the Mon. We were in the Mizmor, we're the Doya Deo, we saw the Yad Hashem, we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu open Nikriyas Yam Suf Matan Torah. Nevertheless, eating the Mon requires more than just seeing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and more than just seeing the Nissim of the Mon. There were incredible Nissim which accompanied the Mon, as we all know from the words of Chazal. But with all that, with the open Yad Hashem, with the Nissim Gluyim that existed in the Mon, with the Schaba Einish aspect of the Mon, that the Tzaddikim got it without any Tircha, and the Rishayim had to go and search for it. Elsewhere, some of the Sforim say that the Tzaddikim didn't have to prepare the Mon in any way at all. As we know, the Rishayim had to be mevashal, the Mon had to prepare it. Everything was fitted according to a person's deeds and so on. Nitzim Geluyim. But with all this, we would not have understood this message that the Moitzah Pi Hashem is what feeds us. We wouldn't have been able to see the Hashpoat Hashem behind the Mon that we ate had it not been for the process of Vayyamcha Vayyaribecha. He says that a person has to have a hishtoikikos, a desire to be chalishing for something, a tzipio, wishing and hoping for something, in order to appreciate it when it comes. And therefore this Vayamcho Vayarivecho, this was really a chesed in the mon. It was a chelik of the chesed in the mon. That in order for us to have the full lesson out of the mon, to have the full ruchni of sikatam of the mon, to be able to feel and experience that it's the Maisel Pi Hashem which feeds us, and therefore the mon would bring us close to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our mundane eating would in fact be a means of aliyah and coming closer, a means of hiskarvus to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to get that message and to have that aliyah from our eating, we had to have the hunger and the starving for the mon prior to getting it, because the desire for something is what determines the effect it will have on a person. So we all know that there are occasions in our lives when we feel uplifted, we feel closer to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu for various reasons. It might be because somebody says a Musa drasha, it might be because somebody reads a Musa sefer, whatever it would be, one feels uplifted. But the feeling of being uplifted often wears off very quickly. What is kaiveya and fixes that feeling of being uplifted, the closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what fixes that in a person's heart, is the extent to which they starved for it before they received it. When we underwent inui, suffering and ravoin and hunger before receiving the mon, we waited for our Kodesh Baruch Hu to feed us, to be made in our book, to nourish our bodies, and then we received that nourishment, so the message remained with us. It wasn't just a hispilos, a moment of great being greatly uplifted for the moment and nothing more. The lesson remained with us. So these are the words of Rabbi Aaron Tosler in the Sefer Mishnah Shabbi Aaron. I'll return to them a little bit later, but just to speak a little bit further about this Indian, the Malbim tells us here in Parshas Behaloitzecha, fascinating thing, an unusual Chazal which is well known. The Gemara in Yuma tells us Lechem Abirim Ochalish. The Gemara quotes the pasuk Lechem Abirim Ochalish. Zei Yehoshua Shayorad Loimon Keneged Kol Yisrael. This is a reference to Yehoshua, this pasuk Lechem Abirim Ochalish, because Yehoshua Yorad Loimon Keneged Kol Yisrael. He, simple, straightforward pshat, he got as much mon as the rest of Kol Yisrael. Now this is a expression of Chazal, an amar of Chazal, which needs to be understood, because as we know, everybody got precisely the same quantity of mon. That's well known, we all know that. Everybody got it. That's it. So what do Chazal mean when they say Yehoshua received as much mon as all of Klal Yisrael? So the Malbim explains to us as follows. The mon had two components to it. On the one hand, it was food, which nourished the bodies of Klal Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael. It was a physical food. However, one could not deny the source from where this food came. The mon came from Shamayim. And since it came from Shamayim, it had a chelik harukhni attached to it, because it had the nature of the place from where it came. And this chelik harukhni also had its job to do in the nefesh and the neshama of Yid. So when a person ate mon, says the Malbim, there were two processes which occurred here. On the one hand, the body was satisfied. This is the normal activity, the normal process of eating food. So the body was nourished. However, at the same time, the chelek haruchni of the mon, because the mon came from Shemayim, had its effect on a person. He says as follows. We find with regard to the malachim, there are psukim which refer to malachim as eating lechem. And he says, lechem is a general term for nourishment. You have physical nourishment, where we eat and our body is nourished. But there is also a ruchniyistic type of nourishment where a person's hafsogas are raised and lifted. Their understanding of ruchniyist, because of the intellect that they've got, is raised. And once they raise their hafsogas, their understanding and appreciation of ruchniyist, then they're uplifted and they become a greater and better person. So through this lechem, which is a hafsogos in ruchnius, understanding in yonim of ruchnius, the person becomes greater. When we speak about malachim having lechem, what we mean is the malach, which is kuloi ruchni, has got in his matzav in shemayim the possibility of raising his hafsogos and therefore becoming greater and growing. There's a process of growth in ruchnius amongst malachim. And this is the second side to the mon. The mon, on the one hand, was made in the guf, but at the same time it raised up the person, gave them higher hasogas and ruchnias, and lifted them, brought them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malbim says that in truth the Torah itself contains both of these components. The Torah is min hashamayim, and the Torah is the emes, really kulay rochni. He says that's why the Malachim wanted the Torah at the time of Matan Torah. They didn't want humanity to have it, because the Malachim time is the Torah is kulay rochni. However, says the Malbim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a chelek hagashmi into the Torah, which is like the levush, it's like the covering of the ruchnius in the Torah, and these are the mitzvahs, shayr and bayr, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, all that we learn in Gemara, all that we're mekayim, tayag, mitzvahs, this is the malbush of the Torah, the, so to speak, the physical clothing of the Torah, and everybody has a chelek in that, we're all mekayim, mitzvahs, ha-Torah. However, there's also the chelek hanister of Torah, the ruchnius, the pure ruchnius of the Torah. And this, says the Malbim, is something which only the greatest people are zoicha to really taste and really understand. When a person is very high and they climb the ladder of spirituality, of ruchnius, then they're able to take out this chelek hasoid, chelek haruchni, so to speak, of the Torah. But there is also the levush. And this is why the Torah is given to man. Man has got his neshama with the levush, the covering, the clothing of gashmius which goes around it. And the Torah has both. There are those of us who receive more of the gashmius of the Torah than the ruchnius. We're more involved in kiyum hamitzvot. Even Talmud Torah itself might not necessarily reveal the nefesh of the neshama of the Torah. And then there are the great people, the great tzaddikim, who peel away the layers, so to speak, of the guf ha-Torah, and they reveal the neshama of the Torah, nishmat ha-Torah, which is this other chelek, the chelek haruchni, so to speak, of the Torah. So the Malbim says, when a person eats 8 mon, what he got from that mon depended on his madrega, on his hasokas and ruchnias. When a person worked on himself and raised himself up, climbed the ladder, so to speak, so he got a certain chelik ruchni out of the mon, which perhaps his neighbor didn't get. And when somebody reached the very top of the ladder, as high as one could go, they received the maximum out of the mon in terms of the ruchnias, and the minimum in terms of the gashmi. He says this is what Chazal mean when they tell us Ze Yehoshua she'ochal mon keneged kol Yisrael. Yehoshua was on a madrego, his nefesh, his neshama was on a madrego where he could take the maximum ruchnius out of the mon. So Yehoshua was ochal mon keneged Yisrael, not in terms of the measure of mon that he ate, because that was the same for everybody, but there was a chedek haruchni in the mon which was available, it was there for the taking, but dependent upon a person's madrego. And Yehoshua seems, I don't know why Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned here in Chazal, I've often wondered about this, but Chazal say Yehoshua took the maximum out of the mon. Perhaps it could be that by Moshe Rabbeinu was no chiddush at all. Moshe Rabbeinu was almost kenat like a malach, so it could be there's no chiddush to think that Moshe Rabbeinu got a gazal to brokenness out of the mon. But Yehoshua was a bosom adam bimloim mubin hamila. Could be actually that's why Chazal mentioned Davka Yehoshua, say even Yehoshua was a plain human being of flesh and blood, so to speak, even he was able to receive Keneged Kol Yisrael according to his preparation and the way he had raised up his neshama, he was able to receive as much ruchnius from the mon as everybody else in Kol Yisrael. So this is the Malbim's pshat here in this fascinating Chazal, Ze Yehoshua she'ochal mon Keneged Kol Yisrael. Just to go a little bit further with this inyan, it's a fascinating thing which Rav Chaim Voloshiner writes in the Sefer Ruach Chaim Perush on Ovid. So we find here the Mishnah says it's Ovid Perik Gimel. In my print here it's Mishnah Gimel. You often find the different numbers on the Mishnayot and different prints of the of Pirkei Ovid. Here it's Perik Gimel Mishnah Gimel. Rav Shimon Oimer Shnoi Shoshochel Al Shulchan Echad Ba'Omru Olav Divrei Torah Kilu Ochlu Mizivchei Meisir. Three people ate together, there could have been conversation, words of Torah between them, the Layam role of Dibbe Torah, but they didn't use the opportunity for speaking Torah. Kilo Ochlum is Dibbe Mesim. It's as though they ate from Dibbe Mesim dead carbonoid. Shedema, Kikol Shulchonoid, Malu, Ki Toyah, Blimokan. Very, very graphic description here, a pasuk from Yeshaya. Kol Shulchonoid, all Shulchonoid are Malu, Ki Toyah. They're filled with vomit and excrement, Blimokan, without the mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, very graphic. Three people who ate together and they did say words of Torah between them, kilu ochlu mishulchono shel makom, as though they ate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own table, shneimar, etc., etc. The Chaim Voloshiner speaks about pshat of this Mishnah, and he tells us as follows. Rav Chaim Vital explains, again going to the Pasuk of Lo Yahalechem Levad Ki Al Moitzo Pi Hashem Yichkeh HaOdom, that man lives from the Moitzo Pi Hashem, explains Reb Chaim Vital as follows. In food itself, there is a Tzivui Hashem which is Mekayim the food. That means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it wasn't the creation of a certain item, a tree, a plant, and that would grow, give fruits, and they would give seeds onto the ground, and there would be more trees and so on. The Hemsheikh was not a natural thing. There was a Tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these things should have a Kiyum, that they should continue to exist. And this Tzivui, this Hevel Pi Hashem, which he refers to, which is Mekayim, an item, which makes it continue to exist, this is what nourishes a person, is made in a person. This is the Maitza Pi Hashem. So we have here two, again, similar to what we said already, two chalokim in the food. There is the item of food itself, and there's the tzivui, the Pi Hashem, Hevel Pi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the tzivui that the food should be miskayim, should exist, and should continue to exist, and that's what's made in the person. That's the chelek of the food. But Reb Chaim Voloshiner continues, he says there's a third chelek in food. And this is something which came into food, into modern, at the time of the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, there was good and bad, Toiv and Ra, they were completely separate. They didn't join together. After the Chet of Adam HaRishon, there was a mixture of Toiv and Ra, and this mixture, this Tarubus, this mixing of good and bad, was to be found in food itself. So that's why we find, for example, Chazal tell us that when Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, the Malachim were Tzoylin Loibosar, the Moizgin Loyayim. They rose to meat for him, they poured wine for him. What does that mean? Because in the times before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, food was Kulay Toy. For those hours before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, food was Kulay Toy. It was Kulay Rukhni, so it was Shayach for a Malach to serve food to Adam HaRishon. However, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, this Chelek of good and bad became part and parcel of food. So when we eat food, to the Chaim Voloshiner, we're taking in the mixture of good and bad. And this has to be separated. Physically it's separated by our bodies, that some of the food nourishes us, goes into the blood, ultimately nourishes the body, and the rest is passed out as waste by the other organs of the body. And this is part of the living processes of the body. But says the Chaim Voloshiner, what determines the selection of good from bad is the eisek b'toira. When a person is eisek in toira, toira is nimshal on the eish, and it is as though what has burned up the psoilas, the bad part of the food, and chosen the good. So when one learns toira whilst one is eating, and when one says brachos, which he also mentions, one says a bracha, and one is makir where the food has come from, what one is doing is one's starting a process of selection where one takes out the good from the food and one pushes aside the bad, the chelek hara, and then the body is able to expel that, and there is no effect, no detrimental effect in ruchnius to the human being. So this is the power of Torah as regards eating food. The amral of what they take. So the Chaim Voloshiner, we find exactly the same by korbanos. When a person brought a korban in the Beit HaMikdash, again, it's a behema, there's a chelek hatov and a chelek hara. Part of the behema went onto the mizbeach. The eish hamizbeach burned up that chelek, the chalavim, or in case of the oila, all of the evarim. And that was the ra which was put aside, out of the way, and then one could have the kaporah through the korban, and one could eat the meat of the korban, either the kainimated, the kekuna, or bainimated, kotchim kalin, each korban according to its own dinin. That was the chelek hatoiv after the eish had separated out, the eish hamizbeach had separated out the chelek hara, the food. And this was avodas hakorbanos. And here Reb Chaim Voloshiner says a fascinating thing, a chiddush, which he brings a proof for, brings a raya for it, which we won't go into now, that when the Kohanim ate kodshim, There was no psoilas. They didn't pass anything out. It was kuloi toiv. There was no waste at all because the mizbeach had already taken away that share of the chelek hara, and the kayanim ate everything that they ate was nivla, absorbed into the parts of their body, all of the evarim, all of the various different parts of the body, and there was no waste whatsoever. The chiddush of Rav Chaim Voloshin. So this is the process again, similar to eating food. The bringing of korbanos on the mizbeach was again the same thing. The bad was filtered out, and the good was used, eaten by man, kuloi ruknui, kuloi toiv. And this is how it is with food. Presumably the pshat is that could be mishapik, but the koyach of the mizbeach, koyach of ruknui, is to be mishapik, but presumably. So Rav Chaim Voloshin says that's why when one eats, there is a chiyuv to eat with the Divrei Torah, there's a chiyuv to eat with brachas, because you have to separate out the chelek hara in food. And that's why a person who eats derech rav samos, when somebody eats in a greedy, gluttonous way, the brachas are not as they should be, and there is no Torah at the table, and it's just an exercise of enjoyment and pleasure, then that is kilu ochlu mizib chemesit. There's nothing there, there's nothing good in that. One's being harmed by that. So this is the chiyuv that's on a person to eat with brachos, to eat with divrei Torah, because that shows, says Rav Chaim Voloshin, that the person wants to choose the chelek hatoiv in the food. He says, this is why we find with Baal Pa'oyer, as Chazal tell us, the avoida of Baal Pa'oyer was a particularly disgusting avoida, where they excused themselves in front of the avoida zara itself. He says, the kavana here was, on the face of it, it's impossible to understand such a disgusting thing, how that could be considered an avoida in anybody's book. Because what they wanted to do was to show that, on the contrary, they want the chelek hara, that which the body expels, that part of the food which is bad, and which is not of no use to humanity, which is only harmful to the neshama, that ra which is mixed up with the type, they want that, so their whole avoida was emphasizing that is the ikar according to them. Pleasure, enjoyment, expelling the ruchnius, any idea of aliyah, of using one's seichel, one's intellect to climb the ladder, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, higher aims in life and so on, that was all put to the side, and brought to the fore was the chelek hara. So the avoida itself of Baal Pa'or was to be matriz in front of it, that they should excuse themselves in front of the Baal Pa'or. So these are the words of Rav Chaim Voloshin in the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, again speaking about these two chalokim of food, and this of Rav Chaim Voloshin was the greatness of man, that it was kuloi toiv, and there was, as Chazal tell us, nothing was wasted, it was nivla ve'ivorim, nothing was wasted because it was kuloi toiv. And the message here is for us in the food that we eat to choose that we should draw out the chelek hatoiv and put aside the chelek hara. It's got no connection with that. This is through the eish hatoira, when the person sits and there is divrei toira at the table, there is divrei toira, there are brachos as it should be. That's how one gets the chelek hatoiv out of food. Just coming back a little bit to the words of Rav Aaron Kotler, because Rav Aaron, with his yesoid that he says, which is where we began, that in order to appreciate something, in order to get the full message and taste out of something, one has to have a desire at a time before it's prior to getting the thing. There has to be a vayaamcho vayarivecho. One has to be suffering and one has to starve, and then the lesson hits home and the lesson remains with the person. So Rav Aaron Kotler says we find this in other aspects of life as well. We find with regard to what he calls Yirat Hashem B'Avodosoi, or Yediyot B'Yirat Hashem B'Avodosoi. When we occupy ourselves with Avodas Hashem, what effect will it have upon us? When a person sits in front of a Gemara, or a person is Isaac in Mitzvahs, what determines how they'll be affected by that? You have some people, they can sit for a lifetime in front of the Gemara, and they remain the same type of person as they were before, don't change. It's a very interesting thing I've seen in an English book. You may have read it. They called him Mike. This is a book about the Elimelech Press. Very fascinating. So he writes there that he hated coming home Shabbos from yeshiva. He hated coming home. Why? Because in the tenement block where they lived, on one of the doorsteps, on a Shabbos, there used to be a yid sitting there all week he worked. And Shabbos he had his day off, whatever, and he'd be sitting there smoking a cigarette, Shabbos Kodesh, when Elimelech Press came home from yeshiva. So he used to ask him, Nu, what did you learn this week in yeshiva? So he had to tell him, well, it's Kedushin Daf Mem, or whatever it was, Gittin Daf Chaf, whatever, fine. And then he used to stay over the whole Omer of Gemara Baal Peh, this time, smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. So what does that mean? That means a person can sit in Avodah Gemara, they can be involved in Avodah HaKodesh for a lifetime and be the same person. Nothing changes. What determines the effect that our activities in Ruchnias will have on our neshamas? So says of Aaron, what determines that is the tshuka, the desire that one has for growth. And he says this is where Musar comes into the equation. Musar, learning Divrei Musar, gives the person a cheshek and the tshuka to grow. That's what it does. That is the vayamcho vayarivecho translated into the field of Avodas Hashem. When we learn Musar, you pick up a Rabbeinu Yoyam, a Tzilas Yishoyim, whatever it is, a Sifrei Chofetz Chaim, whatever, each person according to their taste. As the Musar is a bit like the Maal. You can find your own taste in Musar, whatever you want, whatever is your chelik, it's all there. All the Sfarim are there. And when one learns one's own Sefer, the Sefer that gives one chizuk, that gives the person the tzipior, the desire and the wish and the shtoikikos to grow. And when they have the desire to grow, then they can grow. Then they learn a piece of Gemara. It means something. It means something in the realm of pure Ruchnius. If you omit it, it means something, they're uplifted by it. And this is the chashivus of Limud HaMusar in this framework of Vayyan Chavayaridachon. And Aaron continues, and he says, we find the same, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, precisely the same thing. Well, in Forishim all ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give us such suffering. Where's the chesed? He took us out from Mitzrayim, very nice, but he put us into Mitzrayim in the first place. The various Mishalim to explain. But Rav Aaron says very simply, it's precisely the same thing. We have to see the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to see the Yad Hashem. But seeing it is not enough. It had to last. It had to last for generations, right through time. The only way it could last would be if there was a tzipio and a hishtoikikos for being saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Batal Shavosu Melhu Elokim. When we reach the stage where our cry was automatically directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're begging, we're waiting, show us your hand, show us your kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we reach that Nadregos, hishtoikikos, to see the Yad HaShem, then when we were zoiche to Geula, the message remained with us. As the Ramban says, the Nisim that we saw then open up a whole field of vision for us, and all the Nisim Nisorim that we see in the world around us, and that message of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Geulas Hashem remains alive with us to this very day. And this is again the same thing by Ya'ancho Vayarivecho, and it's got a shaykh to everybody in their own individual life as well. When we go through difficult times, and there are times of hardship, we always have to remember that that's just the means, that eventually the Ribbono Shel Olam shows himself. It can take sometimes years. Talmud Chacham once said to me, a long time ago, he said, you know, I got something this week. I was able to get something. I've been dabbling for years. I never gave up. So a person goes through times of hardship and they're hoping and waiting. That's a chelik of the chesed of the geula, when ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, smiles at that person. They'll carry with them that geula, that chesed Hashem, for the rest of their life. And in similar fashion, just to finish off, we find Chazal speak about the geula shleima, by Bias HaMashiach, in similar terms. As Chazal say, a person is asked, La'achame Abetim, Tzipisol Yishua. Did you have this tzipio, this hope for Yishua? Ki Yishua so kivinu kol hayon. We're expected to wait and hope and desire for Yishua Hashem. And this again, Rav Aaron doesn't mention this, but presumably it's the same thing. The goals that we go through with all the hardships in Ruchnias and in Gashmias, it's all there in order to make us hope and desire and wait for Yeshua. It's all chesed, really. When we walk in the street and we see things and hear things and we wish we hadn't seen and we wish we hadn't heard, if we can translate those instead of being just purely negative feelings, it's saying, no, so it's so bad, we're waiting for Yeshua. Let it come. We're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we can translate that into Hishtoikikos and Yeshua, then we can be Zayt Hamir Hashem to see the Gula Shleima b'mheirav Yomein. Yes, thank you.